The gospel reading today is from the Gospel of Luke. It's chapter 12, and we're starting with verse 32. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourself that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroy. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are the slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes, for truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. Now, did you notice? This is God who they say will come and serve him. God is the waiter here. And if God comes in the middle of the night and or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming. Okay, God's a thief in this. I'm not going to preach that, but that's a whole nother one. If he would have known when the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Sometimes I come across a scripture and I'm hoping for a bit of comfort, and I encounter a passage like this one in Luke 12. Sell all your possessions and give alms away. God is coming like a thief in the night. Be ready all the time, and where your treasure is, your heart will be also. You know, I read this, and somehow I think it's a prescription for poverty, anxiety, and heartburn. Ooh, that's really what I was wanting this week. Yeah, well, too late for that one, huh? But what I realize is sometimes I bring my own anxieties and my own worries to a text, and then I kind of dismiss things because I really haven't seen them. I mean, I can echo with those that will say things like, why read the Bible when it's just arcane moral laws and threats to those who do not follow them? See, this is just that kind of pious catchphrase thing that doesn't translate well in the 21st century. Except that somehow this week I finally noticed the first verse that I had glossed over in all the other readings. Be not afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Do not be afraid. I mean, this is words that the angels and messengers of God have given Mary and the prophets. Words which told simple folks that they were called to do big things, not because they were especially gifted or because they were ready, but because God has said, you're mine and I'm going to use you. It's not going to be easy for you, but I'm going to be with you. And God has promised not to leave them, to show them the way step by step. It kind of acknowledges that there are reasons to have anxiety. Be not afraid. But it also seems to say, let God have some of that anxiety. Don't let it paralyze you or get kind of worked up in that frenzy of what ifs. But acknowledge that fear and keep on moving. Do not be afraid, little flock. You are not leaderless. You are never really alone. There is a shepherd whose job it is to lead you, to prod you, to haul you back with that big old crook, to find you when you are lost. Be not afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. David Luce puts it this way. This verse is so easily looked over, and it changes everything. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Did you catch that? God doesn't want to just give you some things. God just doesn't hope that things might turn out all right. God isn't just sitting around waiting for you to earn God's favor or watching out to make sure you're toeing the line. Rather, God wants to give you the kingdom, all good things. In fact, Jesus says it's your Father's good pleasure. Really, 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 God wants you to have all the things of the kingdom. So anchored by that promise that God will give us all good things, we can hear those commandments that come after it a bit differently. It changes everything. It's not a demand like you get these things together or you're out of here. It's more like a parent that says, I seek the best for you. I'm going to coach you. I'm going to help you. It's about intention and attitude and relationships. These are things that make a difference. And if we're anchored in the sense that God wants all good things for us, we just hear things differently. It's like we're not supposed to be set by worries or just giving up. It's saying, keep your priorities straight. God wants us to live and enjoy a life that is abundant in this community and wants to share that abundant love and forgiveness around the world. It means being on the lookout for the coming kingdom. I mean, God isn't looking for us to miss and so he can tally it up. No, God wants us to do well. And maybe being ready means being ready to be surprised by what God may have in store for us. It means generosity instead of trying to save everything. It means community instead of looking out only for me. It means vulnerability in relationships rather than strength. See, it's easy to miss this God who comes in love and grace when all you're looking for is law and punishment and what have you done wrong, and you better be ready because God is going to get you. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God's good pleasure. I mean, I just love that. It means, how do I look at the world knowing that God wants me to be my best, not just to make mistake after mistake? That kind of caught me. It caught me because I had to think about my attitude about how I see the world. Do I look at God ready to get me? Or do I look at a God who wants the world to look like his love? So if we think about being ready, it means ready and looking for God's presence in the world. I mean, it means living in a world where joy and peace and hope and comfort and compassion are stronger than craziness and the hurtful, overwhelming world we live in. I think it's just, in some ways, knowing that God loves us and longs us to do better. And so when you give up your possessions, it's saying out of your generosity, you want to share so everyone has enough. It's not sell everything and go live, you know, in a box. It's not saying that. So maybe being alert and ready means being ready to be surprised by God, being alert, being ready to be surprised by God's presence in the world. It means to live not to avoid punishment from God, but being ready to receive God's blessing. It doesn't mean being so afraid that we're inactive. It means being ready. The lamp's lit. It means I'm going to be ready for whatever is out there. It's being ready to be surprised by God. And the attitude makes a lot of difference. I had a third grader and a sixth grader staying at my house for the last 4 days and their parents. And these kids went out in San Francisco and they loved it. I mean, I think things are really busy and they'd say, oh, Maggie, there's people everywhere. Or I'd say, oh, my goodness, there is no place to eat on the street for under $13 or something. And they'd say, yeah, but there's Bob's Donuts. I taught them well. I mean, I took them to a farmer's market. Now, I'm going to tell you, they have nothing like this in North Carolina. And they tried almost everything. That was the rule. Now, I tried to get them to eat a fig. I bribed them with a dollar. They still wouldn't do it. The third grader said, Maggie, if you hadn't opened it up and showed me, I would have tried it for a dollar, but I saw the inside. And in some ways, I had just pushed her a little bit too far. She was willing to risk, and I had just pushed her. So I think it's sometimes I want to have the attitude of those young ones, but I want to have it in the way I see the world. I mean, we cannot change in many ways what's out there. I mean, there are going to be hard times, and there are going to be difficult times, and we still live in this complicated place. That is true. But how we interact with it, how we see it, can change everything. I mean, the other day, we had a lot of food after church, and so I put some of the food in containers, and I was bringing it to some of the men that I know that are in the area that probably live inside but needed some food, and I bring it to them. I'm feeling, oh, so lovely about myself. Look at Maggie feeding the poor. Yeah, we like to be around me when I'm like that. And then some person hears me talking to someone, and they say, are you a pastor? I'm like, oh. I say, yes, I am. And he says, can I talk to you? And this time I made room. And so I said, yes, we can sit at my office. And he said, your office? I said, no, it's those first steps outside. So we sat in the steps right out there, and he told me what was going on in his life. And I said to him first, you know, I'm a pastor, but I don't have any money to give you. Oh, boy, isn't that lovely? He said, that's really not what I wanted. So I've done really well so far. And he said, I just want to talk. I'm in this really bad place. I've been in a shelter for a while. I'm not moving forward. And he tells me about his history and when he's had jobs, and he's just in a dark place. And I can't give him anything, but what I can say is I finally said, Gino, you're God's beloved. This is what I know. You are God's beloved. And I had to say those simple words. And he said, I want to do something. I said, come to our Tuesday meals and you can help. Do you know he's been there for the last 3 weeks and he has gifts for us? But all I could remind him is, you are God's beloved. I needed to shift how he saw himself and how I saw him. I couldn't change the situation, not yet. Maybe we'll be working on that. But that's what I mean by changing the way we look at things, being surprised by God's presence in the world. That's what I hear this passage telling me. I think about Sam's baptism. You today said your life is going to be filled with blessings. I mean, you crazy people said you're committing yourselves to him. You're committing to teach him the ways of Jesus. You're committing to teach him things like forgiveness, things like treating the other like you want to be treated, to be kind, to be compassionate. That's kind of crazy thinking. But that's thinking that says, I see God's good pleasure in the world, and I'm going to help build it in Sam's life and in this kingdom. See, that's what it means by seeing the world that way, seeing it through whole different ways. So be ready and alert to show that to Sam, to live it in your life. And here's the promise. Sam transforms us, and we will transform him. That's what we do in community. So be not afraid, little sheep, for it's God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Maybe some days and some hours we just have to sit in that verse and ask God to help us see in that kind of love, in that kind of compassion, in that kind of forgiveness. And then we let go a little bit and we share our alms. Maybe that means we get ready and expectant and wait for God's surprises. So be not afraid, little sheep, for it is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God's good pleasure is for you. And in God's good pleasure, we're going to take this communion meal. It's a crazy meal, really? Let me take some little wine and a little bit of bread and think it will change everything. But it could. Could remind you of God's forgiveness, God's vision, God's love for you, that you are entrusted to be God's kingdom here on earth. I got to tell you, we are not a perfect people, but we're God's people. And we're God's people. And so let us live in that love and let us live in that strength and live in that joy. And when we are tired, we do it for each other. And we carry that other person until they can feel that good pleasure once again. Oh, it is fine to be those little sheep who follow the shepherd, who are prodded by the shepherd, who live in a good and fine place, because it's a land of God's love. Thanks be to that God. Thanks be for the ways of Christ that lead us. Amen.